MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
It's a double whammy price increase week. Eskom's 12% electricity price increase for the 24-25 financial year has kicked in from this week. And given the inconsistency of supply, most consumers are still questioning the above inflation increase. Petrol is up at midnight. Energy commentator Hugo Kruger is first out the blocks on the program today. And Hugo, how do you believe this tariff hike then is going to impact business, particularly in terms of their monthly energy bills?
Yeah, that's right, Jeremy. But look, it was expected. The formula, as far as I know, was approved 2 years ago by NERSA, so it was expected. But I've got sympathy for the average consumer, because what do? You can't really escape it for most people.
So there've got to be steps put in place to try and mitigate the impact. A lot of people are talking about renewables in that respect, but it's slow and costly, isn't it?
It is, and there's a difficult conversation that is not occurring at the moment. The economists talk nowadays about what is called the missing money problem in electricity. And to explain it to people, in the past, when you had vertically integrated utilities, it was relatively simple. Everyone paid a price in kilowatt hours. Let's say you pay 6,000 Rand at the end of the month. Then only 2,000 was actually for electricity. 4,000 was for transmission distribution. But now, when more people go off-grid, or actually what we call grid-tied, partially off-grid, the question becomes, who pays for transmission distribution if the richer folk are offsetting the full cost to the end user? Now, it's not to blame them or anything, just to explain the phenomenon. Mm. So what is currently occurring with linear tariffs at NERSA is that the bulk users are basically running away from Eskom, and then that transmission and distribution cost is being passed on to the poorest households. And how do we mitigate that? How do we find a pragmatic solution? Because you don't want to destroy the solar industry. I don't want to point fingers and say they're to blame for this, because they're not. It's a disruptive technology. And we need to come with a different way as to how we price electricity. That's my view. There are certain options on the table. I don't have a strong view which one to take. But one is what we call capacity charges, fixed tariffs. Everyone pays 400 or 600 Rand a month, for example. Or times of usage tariffs, which is common in many European countries. We have a daytime rate and a nighttime rate. So when there's high usage at night, that's where Eskom tries to recover their bulk volumes. And that, to me, would be the pragmatic approach to this.
How difficult would it be, Hugo, to implement either of those solutions then?
Politics is the biggest obstacle. So the city of Cape Town, for example, tries this recently. They proposed, I think it was 600 Rand. And the consumers of renewables tend to be their voters, right? Because it's just a voting block. They push back against that. So I can see that'll be difficult. The time of usage one might be a little bit easier, but the biggest obstacle, in my view, is NERSA. NERSA has to relinquish the powers to set tariffs, because they now have a market of electricity with an unbundled system. And in an unbundled system, in a free market, you don't set tariffs, you monitor tariffs. So the regulator has to understand that their new role is to monitor tariffs for uncompetitive behavior, for corruption, all of those things, collusion, but they cannot set it. And Eskom should have the power to set its own tariff, and then the municipalities must obviously cooperate with them, because the municipalities under the current tariff system is forced into bankruptcy. So clearly something is not sustainable.
So how would you then change the mindset or the modus operandi as far as NERSA is concerned?
Well, this is a big question, because even the Electricity Regulation Act that has been passed gives NERSA the possibility to set tariffs. So first of all, there must be a political reform. That cannot be in that act. Now, I flagged this when I went to the Portfolio Committee on Energy to oppose the unbundling. Initially, I opposed it, but I said, okay, now that's unbundled, let's go with it. So I didn't have a strong view against it. But then if we accept market conditions, you must accept the regulator can't do it. And it's more of a political mindset, because it means something else, which I think is difficult for the ANC to accept. Under a market system, in a business environment, bankruptcy is part of creative destruction. So inevitably, you have to accept that some guys who are in electricity trading will go bankrupt, and some will win, some will lose. That's how business works. So it's part of that mindset that needs to change.
What about the risk attached to fixed tariffs?
There is a risk, which is, this is also cited in the literature. I can refer them to the work of Paul Josko at MIT, who I follow quite closely on this, who says the risk is that if you're fixed tariff, then you basically assume that transmission distribution won't have innovation to it. So do we have another clever way of funding transmission and distribution? This is where the debate comes in. Do you have a fixed tariff or do you have a time of usage tariff? And different European countries have different solutions to it. So whichever policy decision you go with, there are risks and benefits.
Do you think that the authorities at this point are grappling with those ideas that you are raising, or is it something which is beyond the scope at the moment?
I know of people in Eskom Transmission who they've schooled me the most on this. They don't want me to name their names because they're scared of losing their jobs sometimes. But I know that many of them have presented to the presidency themselves. Okay, so I can confirm that. So they should be aware of the situation. The issue is politics. We have an election year, and nobody wants to say to people during an election year, whether it's the business interests who fund some of the political parties or whether it is the voters, that something has to change in your tariff structure. And when that happens, somebody wins, somebody loses, right? So I think the reality will probably set in after the election. But I do know personally that the municipalities have thought of this. I've spoken to people in Pretoria. It's not a one-party thing. I've spoken to people in the ANC, and they all are aware of this, but they don't know how to sell it to the voters. So I'm being the person who's giving the uncomfortable truth at the moment.
Well, let's see what happens after May 29. Hugo Kruger, thank you very much for talking to me today.